the perfect person to get to the scientific facts about what we've been hearing concerning Tylenol, autism, and vaccines is Dr. Eileen Marty, who has more than 40 years of clinical and research work in the fields of infectious disease and public health behind her. She works with the World Health Organization and has responded to disease outbreaks around the world. She joins us from Florida International University. Dr. Marty, good morning. Let's see if we can get to some facts here. What does the evidence tell us about autism?
What the evidence says about autism is that the reason it's called a spectrum disease is because there are different manifestations that fall within that spectrum of autism, which means some kind of difference in neurological behavior from standard or non-autistic individuals. And more than that, the science has revealed specific genetic defects that are present in some individual cohorts of people with autism, and that the different genetic findings that we have lead to slightly different places in that spectrum, and that these genetic differences that exist in, again, cohorts can lead to defects in how they handle lipids, specifically lipids in mitochondria, or how they are able to have folate and how it interacts with their brain. So we know this already. That's what the science shows. We also know that maternal age and paternal age can alter how the epigenetics of people then function in the baby, so that these epigenetic changes to spermatozoa and ova can lead to manifestations that look like somewhere on the spectrum of autism. So those are things that we know. And if you want me to name specific changes, I can tell you genes like TMLHE and OCTM2 are associated with specific types of autism spectrum. And that's why there's now the ability to have certain drugs that can help particular cohorts based on their particular type of autism or reason underlying the metabolic and physiological and genetic reason for the manifestations.
The question is, and this is what's being debated, as you know, is Tylenol safe?
So that's such an important question, Bob, because the studies that take into consideration the underlying conditions, the very large studies, there was one just published this September, a big Japanese study, and also a huge study with more than 2.4 million people from Sweden, a Swedish study, clearly shows that Tylenol is safe in pregnancy. More important than that, and this is the key, if you do not treat a high fever in a woman for 3 days, then the baby can have neurologic symptoms. And if you don't treat the pain in a woman who is pregnant, then the stress that she has from the pain alters her hormones and her signaling molecules and her blood pressure in ways that damage the child as well. So there is a need, not just tough it out, there is a real need for the woman to be treated to protect not just the woman, but the fetus as well. Mm-hmm. And none of the other drugs that could reduce fever or reduce pain are safe for pregnancy, whereas none of the real significant studies. And one of the big problems, Bob, is that people don't understand the difference between association and correlation, or a real cause, right? So many things can happen at the same time. Like, for example, you could say that children that wear larger shoe sizes read better than children that wear tiny shoe sizes. And that's true. But that's because as you get older, your shoe size increases.
Yeah, good point. Are the autism numbers up possibly because we're better at diagnosing it?
Yes. And also, another important thing I want to say is Amish people and they do get autism. And the only reason that we see slightly lower numbers in them is because they don't have the same level of quality care and diagnosis that the rest of us do. Not because they're not prone to having the same risks for this as others. So I think we really have to see what's going on here as a huge error in what is being said. It's going to make pregnant women stressed out because they have pain or fever, and that's not fair, and it's not right, and it's not the best thing for the baby any more than it is for the mother to not treat her with her Tylenol.
And concerning the COVID vaccine, as I know you are aware, the Illinois Department of Public Health issued an order yesterday that will allow almost anyone in the state to get the updated vaccine. This is something you agree with, correct?
100%. You know, we need to base our medical treatments and preventative measures on the best evidence available, not on politics. We have to take politics out of how we do science and how we do medicine. And I applaud Illinois for that. And I will say that Florida did have a meeting yesterday and also made a recommendation to allow standing orders like they exist in Illinois. However, they didn't go as far as Illinois in having those standing orders for anyone of the right ages to get the vaccine. They've limited it to a very small cohort. So again, yay Illinois. It's a state that's following the medicine. And by the way, it's not the only one. I'm very, very pleased with the Western cohort of Washington State, Oregon, California, and Hawaii that are strictly following the science to the point that my Hawaiian colleagues say, hey, anybody who wants to come as a tourist to Hawaii can get their vaccine here and it's for free. And, you know, and because both Illinois and those states and several others are mandating that insurance companies cover the cost, which is also very important.
Dr. Eileen Marty, professor at Florida International University. You must be a riot at cocktail parties these days.
Oh, God.
Thank you very much for giving us the scientific facts. We need them.